Namaste and welcome to the Modern Mystic Podcast, where we are exploring the mystical in the mundane and the magic in the present moment, bringing you ancient tools and technologies into modern day living, yoga, mythic, and healing conversations with expert and visionary powerhouses sharing their stories and secrets with you to help you live an inspired life. Welcome to the Modern Mystic Podcast, where we help you make your spirituality an actuality and find more meaning, mindfulness, and magic in your day-to-day life. I am your host, Kilkenny, who is an elite coach, yoga and meditation professor, priestess, psychic medium and astrologer, and have been training and spiritually mentoring thousands of people over the past 20 years. Today, I am really excited to be welcoming Karina Talla, an inner child expert. And we will be answering why working with your inner child and discovering your inner child is one of the most powerful psycho-spiritual practices we can do and how to do it. So Karina, welcome to the Modern Mystic Podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so happy to be here.
It's amazing to have you because the inner child is such a profound technology that has literally been pivotal in my life the past, decade or so. And so I can't wait for our audience to hear the first answer to my question, which is, what does it mean to you to be a modern mystic?
Oh, what a powerful question. What it means to me to be a modern mystic is, I feel like being a woman that is so connected to her heart, to her inner child, that knows how to love and care for herself so deeply that you do become such a clear channel for not only your spiritual gifts or your intuition or your inner knowing, but you also then open another channel, which is the channel to your inner child. And I feel like as a modern mystic woman, when we have that next level of connection, it opens up so much magic and possibility, and it really takes us back to that beautiful, pure soul that we were born as. The inner child is just coming home to who we came into the planet as before trauma, before conditioning, before limitation. So I feel like to me, it's adding that little extra sparkle of your inner child in there. That to me is definitely being a modern mystic for sure.
Love that. So elucidating. And let's dive right in to the topic of trauma, because it's such an important piece and for sure led me directly to this inner child work. So would you mind please giving us a little pithy tidbit about how you came to this work, if trauma informed that work, and then how working with the inner child can really, in my mind, be some of the most powerful healing in the way of healing and moving through trauma?
Absolutely. So trauma is obviously a big word, especially in the healing and spiritual industry right now. And that's for a very valid reason, is that actually so many of us are waking up to realize that we have been navigating a lot of trauma from childhood into teenage years, into our adulthoods, without probably realizing it until the past maybe 5 to 10 years of actually what on earth was going on, right? And I'm definitely, one of those people and had that experience. So my journey awakened with inner child healing in my early 20s when my physical health completely broke down and collapsed. So my early 20s, I found myself bedbound, unable to walk even across a room on my own, with really severe chronic sickness and illness, and was so completely confused. Why has this happened? How am I like this? I couldn't understand, because I had no idea then that your mind and body are connected, as is your soul. And I had no idea that trauma and suppressed emotions and pain manifest in your physical body. So my awakening journey actually began with me losing my physical health. I struggled with my mental health for a long time, but you can kind of hide that and get away with it. People can't see your thoughts, right? They can't see what's going on in the wild, wild west in there. But when your body stops, that is the biggest wake up from spirit. Like, you have to actually listen now. There is no other way. And the fact that I actually couldn't even walk across a room for so long literally meant I couldn't even run away from myself. It was like, right, you have no other choice than to be in this bed for months on end and face everything you've been running away from, which was my trauma. So funny because I didn't actually learn that word until my early 20s to then discover, oh my God, my whole life has been trauma. And I didn't even know what it meant. But actually, that was just like my whole existence, which was crazy. I'm like, really? Damn, this is a rude awakening. But also as well, one of the most liberating awakenings too. So I feel my soul chose a really interesting incarnation, let's say, on this earth, this lifetime. And healers, we have to go through some difficult stuff to really be able to have empathy, to discover our true gifts and what we're here to do. So my gift with inner child healing, my true curriculum already started in my childhood to step into that purpose. So I was born into domestic violence from a baby, mm-hmm. and had that for the first 7 years of my life. And through those, you know, the years of where your subconscious is so, so delicate and being programmed with the brain that you'll have, you know, for the rest of your life, those first 7 years were actually the most traumatic of my life. And growing up with poverty, hardly any money for food or electric, with a single mother, learning English in a foreign country, having just escaped her own traumatic childhood, to have a child really young, which was me. And then being in the environment of my dad, who was extremely mentally unwell and very violent, you know, very, very abusive, and just a really scary, dangerous person to be around. And it was until I was, you know, around 7 years old that it got so bad that the actual government intervened to put a restraining order on him. So he wasn't even allowed in the county that we were living because he was that dangerous. He ended up actually moving country. So you can only imagine the level of trauma that was experienced during those years, right? So again, I'm just a child. I have none the wiser. I think everyone's lives are like this. I think everyone's dads are like this. As a kid, you just assume what goes on at home is just the world. Right? How on earth would you know any different? So I was also an only child and just navigating life in that way. But what I find interesting is that although it may not sound like it, I do believe through those years, I did have a lot of spiritual protection because there were times where we could have ended up dead, as simple as that. And there were so many moments where in my dreams and even in my thoughts, I would see and connect to angels and I would feel their presence. I always believed I had this guardian angel around me, and that spiritual nature came through very, very young. And it's almost like, okay, there's something here protecting me, even through this world experience. So, you know, I get to around 12, 13, and this is when I really began to struggle with PTSD from my childhood and depression, anxiety, but not having any tools to know how to deal with it. This was not a word. This was not language used in the places I grew up from, because everyone was in that trauma too. So I struggled emotionally on my own for a long time, and actually led me to a 9-year battle with drug addiction throughout my whole teenage years, which was quite an extreme situation. But I didn't have any self-love. I didn't know what that word meant. I didn't feel safe. I didn't have security or healthy emotional attachments or relationships around me. I was amongst people that were also living like me. So it's kind of like this blind herd mentality. You don't know there's another way out. So I had to overcome huge, huge hurdles, whether it was a PTSD, whether it's the addiction, whether it's the violence, to really start healing. So when my body burnt out, it might make more sense now as to why that happened so young, is that I had lived, you know, nearly 2 decades of big T trauma, that we call it. I've done so many trainings and trauma-informed therapy and inner child healing, but none of them teach me what my real life has taught me. There is stuff in there that is missing from these curriculums because you don't know unless you've lived the other side. So I'm so passionate about healing from trauma, and trauma feels different for everyone, right? It's not always so extreme. You know, I've had other experiences that might be little T trauma that sometimes are just as painful, and healing from it is a really good conversation to be having right now. Because I think there's some misconceptions that trauma stays stuck. You know, you have to kind of cope with it and just deal with it. But I do believe we can truly heal from it. My nervous system now is completely regulated. There was once upon a time where it wasn't. My emotions feel clear. I feel happy. I'm healthy. I lost my health to now having full health. You know, I'm living my purpose. Don't even really think about my past unless I'm having, you know, professional conversations about it. It's just, it is so much work around it. It's not flashing in my mind. It's a distant memory without the emotional charge. And that is what we want from trauma healing, is to clear the stories, the emotions, the beliefs, the imprints that are keeping us stuck, so we can really move forward. So trauma, really, when we're dissecting it, is two categories, right? So we have the big T trauma, which is essentially any experience that threatens your safety and sense of survival. That can look different for everyone. It can be the loss of a parent really young. It can be getting into a car crash. It can be losing your health quite young too. Obviously, violence and abuse, more extreme traumas. And then we have the little T trauma, which is trauma that affects your emotional state of being and overwhelms your ability to cope in that moment. So that can be bullying, people not being very kind to you. It can be the stress of not having your basic needs met. It can be things like dealing with narcissistic parents, family members, even partners. So there's many, many categories into it. But all trauma, no matter what you've been through, is valid to your experience. So yeah, that's a little bit of a brief download.
Well, I mean, first of all, just thank you for your incredibly poignant and powerful story and sharing so authentically and so openly, because I think, and I know so many listeners will completely resonate and feel their curiosity more inspired and really opened up about this path of healing that's so powerful. And for you to have been through everything that you've been through, and then to say, and now I don't even think about that on an hour-to-hour basis that I course professionally, you know, if I'm speaking of that, but you use it now to help other people. So to me, it's like the ultimate boon and blessing of trauma, as horrific as trauma is and what an ordeal it is to live through. At the same time, that's the power when we do the deep, dark, painful, sometimes like hugely cardio, emotional cardio, heavy lifting, and work on moving through our own trauma, healing our own trauma, then one of the greatest gifts is we somehow find a way, because I'm a coach, and so often with clients that I work with, when they find a way through and to dance with the experiences that they've had, they're able to help so many more people. Like you said, it builds the muscle of deep compassion, understanding, and osmotically, when you're with people and you've done that work, people even feel it, right? Like, not even an intellectual thing. Like, you can talk about it as you do so eloquently and you're so loquacious, but people feel. I find that, like, different circumstances I've been in, when I'm with a stranger, someone will start to just speak to me about something. And my kids laugh, like, Mom, everyone kind of just always is opening up to you about things. And I really feel that that's an energetic aspect to having done so much of my own personal deep work. So I'm assuming you, that's so much of the blessing of people you're around. Now, the other thing I want to really highlight for the listeners is how really importantly it is to not discard one's own trauma. And for you, you're so incredible and such a beacon, because you've been through arguably some of the most traumatic experiences anyone as a human could have. And yet you're still articulated and honored. Okay, there's big T trauma, there's little T trauma. Thank you for going through the differentials between them. And yet, as you mentioned, and let's talk about that a little bit more, there's still little T's that can, or in the past, have triggered you, right? And have been difficult too. So there's going to be some people listening. I was talking to someone the other day who was saying this exact thing. Like, oh, well, they felt suicidal ideation, and they didn't understand why, and they felt guilty about it, because when they looked at their life compared to other people they knew, there wasn't much to complain about, like he said, and yet that person had experienced that. So can you dive into that a little bit more for those listening, thinking, okay, I haven't had such hardships as Karina, and yet how are my hardships still valid, and how do I reconcile all that?
Yeah, this is so brilliant and so important, because I also experienced this with my clients saying, you know, I don't think I've been through that much, but why do I feel depressed? Why do I feel lost? Why do I feel confused? Why have everything and it still doesn't feel like enough? Why am I not happy yet? And that in itself is human suffering, because what we have so deeply got wrong and what has been so confused in human society is to think that our outside material possessions equal emotional stability and security. You have a great job just because you live in a nice house, just because you're, both your parents are still together and you had a nice, safe family home, does not mean your emotional needs were met. And this is the missing piece of the puzzle, is that when we have emotional wounds that have not been met during our core childhood developmental years from 0 to 7, 7 to 18 is still your inner child, right? So if you still are not having your emotional needs met, this creates emotional trauma, which is what little t trauma is, which is also what big T trauma is. If those wounds, they're kind of like empty cups. So if you're carrying around this cup since you were 4 years old of needing love and affection or needing approval and just needing to hear a parent say, I'm proud of you, or I love you. Or say if you were having a difficult time at school and you didn't want to tell your parents because it would kind of break the idea that you were the perfect child and you had to keep all your emotions stuffed in, this empty cup that needs love, that needs affection, that needs validation and safety is not full. And we go around adult life with these empty emotional cups. When as humans our emotional needs are not met, this then creates anxiety, depression, even the suicide ideation. This is all linked to our emotional needs not being taken care of, which also means that we didn't learn the skill of emotional intelligence, which we are all denied of literally on this planet. It's very rare to hear a story of, right, when I was a child, unless it's now, parenting now, but back then, the generations that we've come from, you know, it's very rare because so much of the generations were survival-based and post-war and post-everything. Does that make sense?
It's a brilliant and such an important point. And I was thinking as you're speaking about why it's so revelatory. And it is just what you started to articulate. It's that generations prior to us, and then of course, some people's current iteration of family are still, whether they're immigrants, they're in that fight or flight all the time. As you were as a child, you know, with your mother, there's this constant root chakra, or to put it in Maslow's, you know, hierarchy of needs, that first level of just trying to survive. And when we speak about emotional intelligence, it absolutely beckons to say that that comes with privilege. You have to have time, you have to have money, you have to have knowledge, those three things. And so chances are, if you're listening to this podcast, you have a few of those. And what a gift and a privilege. And then also I was thinking about, and I'm wondering if you concur, how even with the economic quote-unquote privilege, as you alluded to, there's the emotional intelligence component. And every generation, in my experience, when I look at my peers and my colleagues and my friends who I speak with, right, evolves to that next level. I mean, that's the whole point, and in my mind, like soul contract work karmically that we're here to do. So every generation up levels to that next level. And then the kids of those people have a higher and wider playing field, if you will. So it's almost like, even if you have the best economic circumstances, even if your parents have a semblance of psycho-spiritual intelligence, due to the nature of collective consciousness continuing to grow, continuing to heal, continuing to get more evolved and expansive, because we're always hearing about the opposite too, you know, so I want to really highlight that, then it's impossible as a parent, no matter how high you're delivering, your kids are starting at the playing field where you ended. And so inevitably, you're going to be falling short, because then they're taking the baton and pushing collective consciousness, emotional intelligence, and all sorts of things, you know, like now, like gender and everything, they're pushing it forward. It's almost like inevitably the game is set up. So everyone's going to have some holes. I love the bucket analogy. That's fabulous. There are going to be empty cups. I feel like whether you're starting from extreme capital T trauma from when you're young to all of it because of those reasons. What do you think?
Yeah. Oh, I love that so much. I'm just like, yes, 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 in my mind as you're speaking, because this is it right here. And I think it also gives a lot of room for a lot of compassion and grace to like, okay, we're not going to get it right all the time. It's not going to be perfect. We're not going to be perfect parents. We're not going to be perfect people, healers or coaches. We're humans figuring it out together at the same time. But if we can bring in emotional intelligence, which basically is simple as, I am able to identify and understand my own feelings right now, and I have the wisdom to not project it onto you unconsciously. So my emotions don't hurt you. So my projections don't interfere with your experience. And that is kind of what trauma is. is unregulated emotions, unprocessed pain thrown onto another person. And so it just continues for hundreds of years, right? So it's all down to our feelings. And that feeling part is the part that can be really scary, because feelings can be uncomfortable. We have amazing feelings, right? We love happiness, we love pleasure, we love gratitude, because they feel so fucking good, right? But we are slightly afraid of the uncomfortable ones. So I think the emotional intelligence is like, right, we have a whole spectrum of emotions in our human body. Can we get really, really good at, one, not judging any of them, accepting them, and learning to be friends with them, right? So I have this wonderful technique that I teach my clients where we visualize the inner child meeting their emotions for the first time. And the emotions have like a little character and a color and a face, and anger does, and so does fear. And we say, you know, to my anger, I love you. You're safe with me. It's safe to be here. To my fear, I'll look after you. It's okay. I protect you. We get the inner child to start speaking to their emotions already in this way, which then as an adult teaches you. So part of it, emotional intelligence, a big part as well, is this compassion piece. So if we can't feel our emotions, we don't have empathy for other people. And that's when things can go wrong. So compassion is being kind to yourself, loving yourself, also passing that baton on as well. But I think, again, what you're saying about the children aspect is so true, because even in a child healing, when we are connecting to this part of us, you know, in the subconscious mind, in the soul, the inner child is very honest. They're like real actual children, right? So they kind of tell you how it is, and there's no buffering. It's just like straight up truth and facts to you. So I have this view, you know, I'm not a mother. I aspire to be in the future, but I'm not now. But I have this view of, okay, when it gets to that point where your children will be more spiritually advanced than you are, more aware, is that they become your teacher. And I think they are here to humble us and keep us in line, keep us in check, and also for us to give them permission to be their authentic self, right? Because we're coming from a generation which is like, children are seen or not heard. You don't know anything because you're younger and smaller and have less experience. So adults are right and you're wrong. It's this huge hierarchical nature of separation of parents to children. And this creates so many damaged relationships, because it's like, you don't feel bonded emotionally. It's just order and sometimes just discipline as well, if that makes sense. So I think this emotional intelligence piece is all of us, and we can all benefit from just being more comfortable with our feelings a little bit more and knowing what to do with them as well, definitely.
So good. So many things you said that were so incredibly helpful. One of them, I have three kids, and so it is such a dance for those parents listening, I find, in my experience, of that balance. Because I mean, I 1000% know my kids are here to teach me. You know, that's something that is very clear to me, you know, and I've known since they were born, before they were born. And yet then as parents, we have to straddle this, and yet we are here to teach them too. And so that dance between figuring out, okay, in this moment of time, when there's a struggle, so to speak, on the inside or with your child on the outside, okay, in this moment, can I pause? And am I literally here to guide them? Or are they actually a mirror and the teacher reflecting back my own shit and my own karmic baggage that I need to work on? And it's so complicated, you know, and I think people who don't have kids then can think about that with their own parents, right? Or whoever raised them, because there's always, I think, that tension energetically, so to speak. I love how you spoke about emotional intelligence really being comprised of A, naming, claiming what you're feeling. You know, so many people when I work with them can't even articulate what's the emotion. You know, I take the kids to the doctor and there's a huge poster that says angry, sad, you know, and when they were young, the doctor would say, okay, you know, you can point to one of these. And the first time I saw that, I was like, that's so brilliant. Like, I feel like as adults, we should have that picture. So, you know, because a lot of adults who are incredibly intelligent, incredibly, you know, high impact people I work with, when you're really like, you know, okay, how are you feeling? Words can be elusive. And then how you spoke of practicing that, getting in touch with that really simple practice, you can print out a chart for yourself, you know, and really think, okay, point if you have trouble with this, am I angry? Am I sad? You know? And then the other thing you said that was great was, and then it becomes then when you claim your emotion, you can not project it onto someone else, you know, and that's that moment of, do I choose to be reactive or do I choose to pause? Like you said, add the panacea of compassion for myself, of understanding where and why I'm feeling these things and honoring this feeling so that I don't project and then cause turmoil with others. So good. Now, would you be willing to claim your, or speak of rather, claim to your beautiful system of working with the inner child? Because I've heard you talk about the steps. And when the first time I heard you speak, I was like, okay, I need to interview this woman. She's amazing. You know, because I really feel like you have created something that's really unique and original. So would you mind sharing this amazing technology that you have created with inner child work and the steps you've detailed and honed out?
Yeah, I would love to. I would absolutely love to. So it was such an honor because the first time I shared it was on the Sahara Rose's Higher Self podcast, and it was such a beautiful transmission. So you're going to be the second person we're sharing it with here and open, which is honestly such a blessing, such a blessing. So with this 12-step methodology I have for inner child healing and be able to overcome childhood trauma in that sense, is it really has been an outcome of my 10-year now healing journey and healing experience with the inner child. So this is something that has seasoning behind it. It has refined over and over the years. I'm not one to rush into anything. If something needs to take me a decade, it will take me a decade. I want it to be like perfect and like so ready. There is no part of it that I haven't gone through with a fine knit comb, pretty much. So a big also part of it is I really, really think there is a lot of value in trying to make things as clear and as simple and as concise as possible, even if the topic is not simple itself. So this is a real gift to be able to do, to take something complex and translate it in a whole new way that is digestible and not scary and overwhelming. So this is the teaching part of my soul that really comes through, is be able to take that and translate it. So what I really found is that what is missing from the current models of traditional psychotherapy of inner child healing is that it's actually not holistic. So it focuses on the mind and the mind only. And that's okay. This was coined 100 years ago through, you know, our big voices in psychotherapy. So it was a different world then, and we're evolving a lot. So before I came into inner child healing, I did my practitioner trainings and studies in Ayurvedic medicine. So I was living in India. I was studying Ayurvedic medicine from the incredible teachers and doctors there, going deep into the spiritual nature of humans. What do we really need to heal from the root, not the symptom, right? What does our bodies and nervous systems need to heal? So really, essentially, my method is a bridge of my holistic trainings in deep Ayurvedic medicine and methodologies with this kind of more modernized Western aspect of inner child healing. And I thought, my God, it's the two of those that helped me transform my life. And it's the two of those modalities in their own kind of unique ways that help my clients heal. But there isn't a system that has it all in together, right? You have to go to an Ayurvedic doctor to work on your, let's say, lifestyle and self-care. You have to go to a somatic practitioner to work on your nervous system. You've then got to go to an inner child here to your inner child and the therapist to work on your mental health. It's like 10 different people. So I kind of put the role of 10 different people into this very structured 12-step system. So I wanted to give a bit of background because it is original. It is from my own experience, and also the steps are very methodical in the way it's laid out. You can't start at step 10 and then go to step 2 and it have the same result. It won't. You have to go in this really gently curated formation. So obviously there are 12 steps. So I don't know if we have like 5 hours to go through it. So I'll give a brief download of what it looks like overall so we can explore it. So how we start with the method is safety first. Before we look into anything, we are looking at safety in your nervous system, safety in your body. That is my number one priority as an inner child practitioner, is that you are safe and your experience is safe. So it's trauma-informed from the very beginning. So this is teaching people about the nervous system. What is it? How does it function? What state am I in? If it's activated, if I feel depressed and withdrawn, if I feel happy and excited. So understanding that survival part of you is really important. We're then looking into self-care, okay? how to actually take care of ourselves. Most of us throughout childhood didn't have a self-care routine or a self-love routine. You know, we're kind of like dragged out of bed really quickly, rushed for breakfast, on just running to school, you know, one shoe on, trying to get ready. You know, it's like chaos. So this is like, how can we really look at our daily routines as sacred, as safety and trauma informed from the minute we wake up? Because we continue to re-traumatize ourselves through our habitual patterns of chaos that we picked up during childhood. So this is actually like, how can we rearrange all of it and make it a lot more safe? We then look into the inner child itself and reparenting. So reparenting is the part of this practice that you become the parent that you need. You become your own inner mother and your own inner father, regardless of gender. This is not about gender. This is about the roles that these energies play in our lives. So say, for example, you didn't have healthy modeling of the masculine. You need to learn how to protect yourself, have boundaries, communicate clearly, create structure in your life. And for the mothering aspect, can we learn to be more nurturing and gentle, but still fierce and protective, but, you know, to be more kind to ourselves too. So reparenting, you know, there are four core needs we have in childhood. If they're not met, we get those emotional wounds that stay with us as those empty cups that we hold, you know, all throughout our life until we learn how to fill them. So that reparenting piece is really important.
You might have heard me say that my intention for this podcast is to help folks live a more meaningful, mindful, and magical life. And it's the same for my Vibrant Venus Elite Coaching Program. I support soulful and successful people who struggle with burnout to find more meaning, more magic, and how to really make their spirituality an actuality and live every aspect of their life from this place. So to ask any questions or to get more information or to book an exploratory call, go to modernmystic.love/coaching.
It then evolves into the step of emotions. Okay, all about these emotions. What are they? What do we do with them? And how to befriend your emotions and work with them. There's another piece in, this is actually step six, and this is all about self-regulation. So this is where I actually teach, how do you regulate not only triggers, but how do you regulate your thought patterns? So we think 60,000 thoughts a day. What are we doing with these 60,000 thoughts, right? They are so important, but we are looking at the three meals we have a day, the one time we go to sleep, you know, the one morning routine we have. There are 60,000 thoughts. These things are powerful and we need to know how to manage them, because it's our thoughts that then create feelings that then activate our emotions and we get stuck in this cycle. So the self-regulation part is amazing. So I really get people to start digging in and questioning their thoughts and patterns, belief systems as well. Where did this belief come from, right? There's an amazing exercise where I get a client to list out some limiting beliefs they may be having and we dig, right? So I'm getting them to, okay, write down the age that you first started believing this. Okay. Six, I'm 13, I'm 15. Okay, write down the scenario that caused you to start believing this. Okay, maybe it was my parents, maybe I was bullied at school. Okay, write down the name of the person that actually influenced you to think this. Right, so we start really digging. And by the end of a belief system of maybe, you know, 10 or even 20 beliefs, I ask my client, okay, did you write down your name next to any of those limiting beliefs? And they're like, no, it was from so-and-so or this teacher or this person. I'm like, so your whole entire life is being run by beliefs that are not even yours. And they're like,
yes. Yes.
Oh my goodness, this has to change. They're like, but Karina, how do we change some new ones, please? So we then learn how to reframe it, right? Because you can imagine your belief systems are like software on your iPhone. And you haven't updated the software since 1985 or 1972, and it's there dusty in your hard drive, just like on autopilot. These beliefs are unbelievably important. If there's one thing you're going to do in inner child healing, make it your belief systems, make it your emotions, the rest will come after. These are foundational to create deep, long-lasting change. So beliefs are a big part of it as well. We've got boundaries in there. Communication. How do we even communicate? How do we, you know, build these life skills that we need so much? And then towards the last kind of part section of the modules is we're looking now, okay, rebuilding our sense of self-esteem and self-worth and confidence, right? Because we can really lose that along the way of life through all sorts of different trials and tribulations that we go through. So towards the end of it is then we then start looking into self-love. And the last module is connecting to your highest self. So the spiritual aspect comes last. And it's really interesting because that part for me is when you get to that last step, that is when I would say your deeper spiritual awakening kind of really starts to take off in a different way. It's like you kind of, it's with the inner child, starting from the foundations up, right? And then you're going up and up and up, and then this whole other section happens. So it's really, really powerful. And each step is really action focused, right? I'm like, we can talk all day long, but talk therapy is now proven to not actually do much healing. We kind of stay stuck in our trauma responses. We need to be doing the work to create these cognitive shifts in our subconscious, in our neural pathways, in our nervous system. And that's kind of like all healing really is we're reprogramming our brains and our body to update, to safety, to love, to compassion. And then you really become a whole new person, which is your truest self anyway, you know, who was underneath the trauma the whole time. So I hope that gives some clarity about the steps and what we begin to explore and yeah, everything that can come with it as well.
Amazing. Amazing. I'm sure our listeners are like salivating hearing the different steps. And there's so many things that you said that just like really hit the mark of my heart and really I could feel in my body just like, yes, such a relief and such authenticity and truth. And I just loved how you spoke of how really all healing comes down to how we can heal our nervous systems and be embodied, you know? And so talk therapy, as you said, you know, it definitely, I feel like, and for sure has its place. And yet when we have been through trauma, big T and little T, our body completely has a tally of all that. And so if we're just using our minds and our thoughts, as you had alluded to earlier, are connected to our feelings. So they're intrinsically connected. But if we're leaving out the equation, the body as a component, then we're missing out. And like you said, often we get stuck or we're spinning circles and doing donuts in our mind and can never really fully get liberated, even if we get some movement. So we're talking about full liberation. Like you said, your experience not being stuck in the thoughts of the trauma as you shared personally, you're not anymore, right? Mm-hmm. So full liberation is that body. And of course, in the Eastern, many philosophies and a myriad of traditions, mind and body are one word. They're connected. Mm-hmm. You know, it's mind-body. So you have an Ayurvedic background, which I love because I'm a tantric yogi and, you know, have the same background in the way of the Eastern context. Mm-hmm. And so it's so powerful, you know, when we realize, oh, the body, if we're not including the body, we're cutting something in half that needs to be fused back together, which are the mind and the body, which work together and in tandem. Mm-hmm. So it's really gorgeous, your explanation. I'm curious, too, with your different stages and steps that you delineated, you're always working with inner child, right? The whole way. Yeah. So whether you're at the first step of safety in your nervous system, in your body, or the second one of self-care and self-love practices, or the third step of reparenting, or the last step of the highest self connection, the whole time, right? You are guiding people and encouraging people to work with their inner child throughout those stages. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. So every step is the foundation is the inner child underneath, and it's through that lens, which is really, really beautiful. So, you know, instead of even, for example, right, instead of just seeing, oh, step two is about self-care, rituals and routine. Instead of just seeing that from, you know, the adult perspective of, right, I have to put my alarm on for a certain time because I have work in the morning and all the things. It's like, okay, but how can we infuse the conscious connection to your inner child into your routine and also have the awareness that every time you are, you know, showing devotion with the self-care routine, you are parenting a little girl that needs stability, that needs security and safety. When you provide her those things, you're literally parenting your subconscious mind and inner child to say, I can look after myself in this way. So, for example, a little practice that maybe your listeners can even start doing as well is that part of the self-care morning routine is that I get all my clients and people work with the method to put a little photo of their inner child on their bedside table. And the first thing you do in the morning, and I actually have my little, I've got them all over my house, but here's one that I speak to and I look at, and she's smelling some lavender in the picture here. So I literally look at the photo and I say, you know, good morning. I love you so much. I'm proud of you. I believe in you. And I just speak to that part of me with love, with compassion. When you start your day with that connection, you feel so connected to your heart, so connected to your spirit. And then everything throughout that day, you're being reminded of there's a little girl within me. And if I get triggered, it's her I need to take care of. If I feel reactive, it's my little girl yes. that's feeling reactive. If I need to set a boundary, it's because I'm protecting that part of me. Everything is filtered through yes. this beautiful lens. So it's really, really interesting because I think, you know, as adults, sometimes it can be easier to be our own worst critics and be hard on ourselves and all the things. But when you think, wait, hang on a second, would I actually speak that way if a four-year-old child was standing in front of me? Would I say those words to them? No, hell no. So it's like, okay, we have to change that, right? And say, for example, you know,
so good.
So it's all about having this connection that this part of you, this inner child, and all the different ages, right? It's 0 to 18. So you have 18 inner children. I know it's a lot of parenting, guys, but I promise they just come one at a time. It's not all at once. You know, they are active and they are participating throughout your whole entire day because your subconscious mind controls 95% of your experiences. Subconscious mind developed during childhood. That's the neuroscience in the most simple form behind inner child healing. So it gives us a lot of compassion, right? If you got a limiting belief coming up, oh my God, it's actually just my childhood self needing love and reassurance, you know? And it just opens the gateways to so much kindness and a bit more lightheartedness as well. We're not beating ourselves down for being failures or all the things. It's like, no, it's just a really innocent part of me that needs love and parenting. And it can be done in the most beautiful way. And then what comes with that is when you're connected to your inner child, it just brings a spark back. That is this energy within you that only the inner child can bring. It's like this kind of playfulness, silly, youthful, kind of like innocent part that's just like in awe of life again. And we all deserve to be reconnected to that spark. I honestly believe it's part of our mission yes. is to make sure we preserve that light within us so we can still love and enjoy our lives. Even if it's, you know, stressful or chaotic, it's like that little twinkle within you. It stays there, you know? So yeah, all of us through the inner child.
Love that so much. And in many Eastern traditions, specifically my lineage of Tantra, there's this notion of you have one layer of self. I think of it like a jelly donut, like the inner layer of the jelly, you know, the center, that's called your Ananda Maya Kosha in the Sanskrit language of yoga. And that means your bliss body. You know, there's a part of you within yourself that has this state of bliss. Another translation is contentment, which I think is a really important one to say. So it's like a deep sense of peace that we always have access to at any moment in time. But of course, most of us don't feel that a lot of the time, you know? And so the inner child work, from my experience, when I do that work, it delivers me to that part of myself, that bliss, that play, like you're saying. And that layer of self, that's just so much of what makes life feel more delightful and more profound. And, you know, I think about when we've been birthed into this world, right? We're really close to source when little babies come out, newborns. That's why most people are so magnetized to them, because they're just this ineffable, blissful, you know, peaceful energy about the newborns. And then we get further away from that state. And so part of life, in my mind, right, the game of how do we get back to that state? And like you're saying, inner child work is so potent and a really powerful way to do that. I love how you talked about having 18 years of self, and it can feel overwhelming for that for some listeners, but it's like I had the image instantly, because it is a brilliant way to put it, of the Russian dolls that have like a doll within a doll within a doll. So one can think of it like that. And then do you recommend, you know, for people who are wanting to dip their toe in this work or who have done a lot of this work, but maybe not in the way that you're speaking of it, because you're such an expert in it and offering so many great ideas, you know, which age should we dip our toe in? So tell me your thoughts of like, okay, say someone's listening and they're like, okay, I want to access my inner child. Would you be willing to lead us in like a minute or two exercise to know, okay, do I access my 17-year-old self? Do I access my 1-year-old self? Like in this moment, how can I start that deepening or initiating process of that part of me, that inner child, and at what age wants to be revealed first?
Yes. Oh, such a brilliant question. So yeah, that whole notion of wait, there's not just one like inner child that's 5 years old. It's like, oh, it's actually 0 to 18 years old. You know, sometimes with inner child healing, we think it's just our little self, but it's all those parts of our childhood development, right? So I would say a really great introductory age to connect to younger self, I would say about 5 years old is a really, really lovely entry point to start with, right? Because some of us, not all of us, but some of us can kind of remember what we were like then, or we might even have photos to remind us of that five-year-old self. And when you're looking at a little five-year-old, they're just so sweet, so innocent, so tiny. You're just like, oh, you just want to love them so much. It's just a beautiful way to remember that part of you. And it's beautiful because, you know, when I guide some of my clients, I get a lot of feedback and some of them like, I actually forgot I was a child. I completely forgot I even was a child. I'm so in just being an adult, being a woman, being all the things. I literally forgot I even was one of these small things, you know? So funny. So when you see, yeah, that little self, you're like, goodness, that wasn't actually me. So I think five-year-old is great. When you start going deeper into your inner child healing journey, naturally the ages that want to reveal themselves to you will spontaneously arrive in, for example, healing sessions with someone like myself. So every session I'm working with my clients, we're going into a deep subconscious activation and reprogramming to the part of the inner child that wants to show themselves. So I always let the inner child within my client guide the way. So I say, okay, age of the inner child that wants to show themselves today, come up. And I say to my client, okay, what can you see? And she's like, oh my goodness, it's my 16-year-old self today. And I can see her walking down the road, she's got her bags, looking down at the floor. And I even forgot about that part of me. So it's so interesting. Like when we put the ego and like the control logic away and let the inner child come through, it is incredible. So I think that's a good entry point. So I do have a inner child meditation on my website that will guide you to meet your inner child. So you can actually work with that because every time you do it, you might see a different age or part of your inner child come up. So my voice will be guiding you and all you have to do is listen and go through the activation. So that might be a nice little way to do it. When it comes to an exercise, we can do one together now if you like, a really simple one, if that's okay. Should I lead everyone together? Okay, everybody. So make sure you are sat down somewhere safe and comfortable. If you're driving, please do not close your eyes while you're doing this. Save it to later, okay? So for those of you that are in a safe, comfortable position, let's all take a minute to close our eyes together now. Let's just sit down and let's take a breath in through the nose together, inhaling in. And a nice long sigh out. And again, another deep breath in. And a long breath out, just really soothing our systems and allowing everything we've been discussing today to just land into our hearts. And one more breath, inhaling in, exhaling out. I want you now to visualize in your mind's eye, you are standing under a tree. A big, beautiful tree. Maybe it's overflowing with blossoms or flowers or fruits. Just notice what this tree looks like to you. Just notice your surroundings, where you are, maybe a beautiful place in nature. What can you see? What can you hear? What's the weather? What's the temperature on your skin? Just take a real moment to fully immerse yourself into this surrounding. As you're standing there, you're your adult self today, but it's the inner part of you, the inner parent that is now willing to open her heart, to take on the role to mother and care for her inner child. So what does she look like? How does she feel? Even notice, what is this inner mother? What is she wearing? Is it something completely different to what you'd usually feel dressed in? What's her energy, her body language? You could embody the most nurturing, loving, gentle part of you. Activate her now. Now we're going to call in and invite the inner child to come meet you under the tree. And the age of the child will be guided by them. So just notice their little outline walking towards you. And you now see your inner child standing about a meter away. They're a little bit curious. They haven't come too close yet. I want you to notice, what is your inner child? What are they wearing? Are they holding something in their little hand? Are they maybe hiding, or are they playful? What's their facial expressions? Just observe for a moment. I want you now to begin to walk closer to this part of you. You're going to kneel down at eye height level with your inner child. So you are eye to eye. You're not towering over them. You don't want to overwhelm them. Just get down at their level. You're going to repeat out loud after me, talking directly to your inner child to create this bond and open this activation. To my inner child, I see you. I hear you. I accept you. I'm proud of you. I love you. Taking a breath in, just notice any feelings or emotions that rise. They are very welcome here and completely normal. Just let them flow. I want you now to open your arms to give your inner child a hug. And feel that beautiful hug of almost like you're hugging a long lost friend that has been so excited to finally be with you, finally be able to receive your love. And in this beautiful place under the tree, you're going to ask your inner child, what game would you like to play together here under the tree? And just hear their response. It might be something funny. It might be something silly. Maybe they want to play art or play a game or dress up. Anything is possible here. You're now going to start bonding with your inner child and you're going to start play a game in the garden together. And I want you to be smiling at your inner child. Show them that you're safe. Show them that you're so happy to be with them. Show them that you love spending time with them. And that together you have this beautiful relationship, a lifelong journey of love, just like an only child if you have. Beautiful. Now your inner child, she has some wisdom for you. Your inner child walks up to you, kind of tugs you at your hand. She puts a piece of paper in your hand. I'm going to invite you to open up the paper and read out the word on it out loud. Beautiful. Just saying thank you. That is the message your inner child has for you. Maybe it said love. Maybe it said kindness, rest, courage, strength. Whatever it is. The wisdom that you need to heal is already within you, and your inner child can be a great way to tap into it. So now we are going to leave the inner parent and the inner child together under the tree. This is your safe place in your mind. All you have to do is close your eyes to go there, and we are going to start coming back into our bodies. So I invite you now to wiggle your fingers, wiggle your toes. take a lovely breath in, just sink into your body. If you need to move, you can kind of move your hips, move your shoulders, have a little moment just to self-regulate back into your body. I'm going to inhale in a lovely smile. Let's let this love flow through our bodies. It feels so good to have self-love from the inner child. I'm going to invite you to really slowly begin to open your eyes and come back when you're ready. We shall reconnect together in our conversation. Thank you.
Oh, Karina, thank you. That was really powerful. Wow. And that's just such a gift because our listeners can rewind. I mean, you could do that every day. You know, that's just such a powerful practice. Amazing. Thank you so much for that generosity. The inner child work, I do it and integrate it into my coaching work with clients. And it is really one of the most powerful tools and technologies that I know. And there's so many things to say, but like you said, really starting the practice daily. I have a picture of my inner child too, right by my bedstand. And she has a little yellow t-shirt that says, I'm a mini feminist on it. It cracks me up. So I see I have a moon bowl that I do, but I look at her every day. And then I have a picture of myself as a teenager on my desk where I see, you know, do my work. And I see my clients in a pile of leaves in Russia to remind me of that play. So, you know, that suggestion and folks listening can do that, you know, get a picture or a few pictures of a time in your life where you were in time, space, reality that calls to you, that makes you feel joy. You know, you can put pictures up and that's a way to remind yourself of this practice. Because as Karina said, that each layer of yourself is still present, is still there. And you can begin to work with that inner child. And I also was thinking about how we spoke of times when our trauma stored a bit. And that's a time, as you said so skillfully, that no doubt your unconscious is running the show somehow, aka your inner child. Mm-hmm. And so this work can support figuring how you're feeling, claiming that, and adding the compassion and all the things we spoke of. Also, I find that when myself or my clients are in moments of extreme joy, that's another time to pay attention, right? Because that's your inner child too, already in that Anandamaya Kosha state, that celebratory state, yeah? So can we close the conversation with your thoughts on that?
Oh, yes, and I'm so excited to dive into this because this is really important that in inner child healing and trauma healing that we don't only focus on the past, on what didn't go right, on the pain. It's like the whole point of healing is so we can live again. This is the point. Why are we doing this? Is because we want to live. What is living as a human? This bliss body you're talking about. This is the goal. This is like where we want to be experiencing life from. And this is what inner child healing brings us back to. So what's the beautiful thing is, yes, that when you're connected to your younger self and you've cleared out enough of the heavy emotions and the blocks and you're changing your belief systems and you're loving yourself, is the natural byproduct is you're getting closer and closer to that bliss part of you, right? That inner child. She is kind of emerging from being buried so deeply under all the conditioning, under all the pain, and she can rise now. You know, she can truly, truly rise. So with the joy piece and the happiness piece, I think this is one of the best parts about healing your inner child, is that it genuinely brings that childlike awe back into your life. And things like laughter, having a sense of humor, not taking yourself so seriously, being able to, you know, have amazing friendships and connections where you're all just like high vibe, loving life, just being silly, being playful, all the things. It's amazing, right? And it's a part of us that needs to be expressed. And it's honestly the best feeling in the world when you can express that inner child part of you. And I always think of my friendship with Sahara because me and her, when we're together, we are the most playful inner children. We're like, honestly, the most funny, silly, wild little inner children running around together. And that is a combination of two people that have really done the inner work and can now meet at your bliss bodies together. And I honestly wish for this level our relationship for all women, in our friendships, in our sisterhood, is let's all heal our inner child so we can have more fun together, so we can laugh more together, so we can support each other's dreams and journey through life together, because that's what we're all doing here. You know, I love the Rumi quote is, we're all just walking each other home. But let's make it a fun walk. Let's make it like a hop, skip and a jump back home. I think it'll be right. A lot more better. So yeah, it's really, really important.
It's such a beautiful point, because one way to access your inner child is pay attention to who is bringing out that playful, joyful part of you. Pay attention to those activities that elicit the joyful, playful parts of you. Because when we surround ourselves with people and situations and things that ignite us in that way, then that's inner child work, whether you realize it or not, whether you're calling it or not. Mm-hmm. And also running towards the things that inspire you. And if you can't remember them, maybe think about what you like to do when you were 5 or 10, right? That's another way in that's practical. Do you agree, right? That activity, like when you were 16 and you picked up the guitar, maybe go pick up a guitar again, teach yourself. You know, there's so many things online, don't you think?
Yeah, completely. I love this so much. So tapping into our interests and desires from that lens of our younger self is so amazing, because that is actually a part of understanding our authenticity. Is okay, there's a soul within us and this inner child within us that came here to discover and reawaken and remember what it came here to learn about, what it came here to even do. You know, we're not here for like no reason. We all have a very perfectly orchestrated reason for being on this planet, and everything we do is like the little breadcrumbs of finding our joy again. And interests and hobbies are a really big part of childhood development. What do you like? What did you not like? So yeah, everyone listening, is why don't you write a list of, you know, 10 things that you remember as a child that you enjoyed doing, that you liked watching, music you listened to, food you were eating, things you liked wearing. You know, I remember I had these pair of like red like welly boots. Like in England it rains a lot, so I would go around in my red little Wellington boots, so like Paddington Bear, London style. And I was obsessed. It was so funny because I just like see things like that and I'm like, oh my god, it just brings me back. And music and little hobbies, arts and crafts, drawings, riding your bike, you know, we can still do those things, but just through like kind of adult lens as well. So I have a really fun practice that I give to my clients, and it's called Take Your Inner Child on a Play Day. And I get them to kind of design the perfect, most fun day that their inner child would have loved when they were younger. And I get them to do it kind of like from the morning until the night. So it's like morning, we're having pancakes for breakfast, and then we're going to the aquarium at lunch, and then we're watching a movie with popcorn in the evening, you know, like fun things that are just a one-off that you can immerse yourself in from your inner child perspective. And it's honestly so liberating of how something like that can bring so much healing, you know, to our hearts and our souls. So interest, people you're with, finding the things that excite you are not random. Like follow those breadcrumbs. They're leading you to your purpose. They're leading you to what you're here to do in this lifetime. Don't ignore them. They're all part of it. And our inner child is kind of like, I always feel like she's a few steps ahead, and she's going, come this way, come down the path. I'm here. I'm trying to guide you. It's over here. It's over here. And if we can have the trust to follow her, she's going to take you to really, really magical places. So yeah, this is all just so, so wonderful to highlight.
Well, it's just completely splendid and brilliant, and all the positive affirmations to everything you just said. I love it so much. So Karina, where can folks find out about you and this amazingly inspiring and potent work in this world?
Yeah, so you can connect with me on Instagram. I am at Karina Tala on Instagram, and my website is karinatala.com. So if any of those that are looking for working with inner child healing, I have free discovery call options where we can just have a little chat, see where you're at, and to see if this is the best thing to help you moving forward. So I'm here ready and open arms and waiting to meet you and your inner child. We can heal. We can also have fun while we're doing it. So yeah, I can't wait to meet you all.
Love it. Love it so much. Folks who are listening, I just created a new offering that's a free Protect Your Energy toolkit. So you can go to modernmystic.love/protection and grab that for free. And that is part of my inner child work. That's why I created this, because I had to learn a lot about boundary creating this lifetime. A lot of people I've worked with have benefited from this work as well, because when we do our own work, other people benefit. So again, that's modernmystic.love/energy. I think I said that. It's modernmystic.love/energy. Also, folks can grab my membership there that has over 100 meditation videos and mindfulness, astrology, all the things, all the hacks, energy tips, and yoga. So you can go there for a membership too. And Karina, thank you for being here. Like I said, the second I heard you, I was like, okay, I have to have her on. And your willingness to do such profound work on yourself is now clearly benefiting so many, including our listeners today. And I just had to laugh because part of my work, I'm a psychic medium. And every time I do an interview, I do my own set of practices, like ritual, you know, ahead of time to ground myself and prepare for the interview energetically. And so when I sat down today, I went to get my frankincense oil, which is grounding for me because that's always what I do. I've never not done this. I've have, you know, how many interviews now? Over 70 interviews. And I've never not done this. And I heard my guides. I heard that my own inner voice that I think of as my guides say to me, no, lavender. And I was like, lavender, that like takes you out of your butt. You know, that expands you. That's like the psychic work. Like, I don't really want lavender. And I heard, no, lavender. So I was like, okay, I always listen to the inner voice. And I put on the lavender and I smelled it. And I was like, it's so weird. Like, why? This is the first interview ever. Why would I not be guided to do that? But I always trust it. And then you said you saw in your picture of your inner child, you were smelling lavender. And I was like, oh, right. That's why the lavender. I was
like, that is phenomenal.
Magic always abounds. Listen to those messages of your inner self, your highest self, your guides, your inner child, however you want to think about it. It's all semantics and they're all synonymous, but thank you for your profound work in this world that's making a really big impact. And thank you for being here today.
Oh, thank you so much. I have honestly, this is one of my favorite podcast episodes and interviews to do. Honestly, it's been incredible. So thank you so, so much. Honestly, it's been a blessing. Thank you.
You're most welcome. Here's to more mindfulness, magic, and mystical moments, everyone. Namaste.
Thank you for taking these words in. I hope they ground, inform, and inspire you on your journey of the mystic path. If you like what you heard, please be sure to rate, review, and follow the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or whichever podcast platform you use. It is so appreciated. Also, check out my website, modernmystic.love, where you can find information about my very exciting monthly Mystic membership. My members have unlimited access to a robust video library, which includes short videos that are easily digestible, sharing practical ways to integrate mystical living into your day-to-day life. These compelling videos cover topics such as how to ground, protect, and grow your energy, how to develop your psychic abilities, how to connect to your spirit team, shadow work, inner child work, tarot cards, lots of Western astrology, of course, in addition to syncing up with the rhythms of nature and so much more. I've gotten so much positive feedback that these videos are game changers for folks. Also included in the membership are over 100 alignment-based yoga classes of all different levels, meditation and breathwork classes, so you can work from the inside out or the outside in and up-level yourself as you become the next version of you. Not to mention, my Mystic members get all sorts of bonus content and discounts from my visionary podcast guests. So check out modernmystic.love and take a peek there, as there's a free sampling of some videos waiting for you. Lastly, if you are looking for some conscious conversation and compelling community, check out also our private Modern Mystic podcast Facebook group. Keep on meeting the present moment where the magic lives, one breath at a time. Namaste.